It is a close, windless day in late summer, and the downstairs room is slashed by long strips of light. The sun glowers at him from outside, the windows latticed slabs of yellow set into the plaster. He gets up, rubbing his legs. He looks one way, up the stairs. He looks the other, unable to decide which way he should turn. The room is empty, the fire ruminating in its grate, orange embers below soft, spiralling smoke. His injured kneecaps throb in time with his heartbeat. He stands with one hand resting on the latch of the door to the stairs, the scuffed leather tip of his boot raised, poised for motion, for flight. His hair, light-coloured, almost gold, rises up from his brow in tufts. There is no one here. He sighs, drawing in the warm, dusty air, and moves through the room, out of the front door, and onto the street. The noise of barrows, horses, vendors, people calling to each other, a man hurling a sack from an upper window, doesn't reach him. He wanders along the front of the house and into the neighbouring doorway. The smell of his grandparents' home is always the same. A mix of wood smoke, polish, leather, wool. It is similar yet indefinably different from the adjoining two-roomed apartment built by his grandfather in a narrow gap next to the larger house where he lives with his mother and sisters. Sometimes he cannot understand why this might be. The two dwellings are, after all, separated by only a thin, wattled wall, but the air in each place is of a different ilk, a different scent, a different temperature. This house whistles with drafts and eddies of air, with the tapping and hammering of his grandfather's workshop, with the raps and calls of customers at the window, with the noise and welter of the courtyard out the back, with the sound of his uncles coming and going. But not today. The boy stands in the passageway, listening for signs of occupation. He can see from here that the workshop, to his right, is empty, the stools at the benches vacant, the tools idle on the counters, a tray of abandoned gloves, like handprints, left out for all to see. The vending window is shut and bolted tight. There is no one in the dining hall to his left. A stack of napkins is piled on the long table, an unlit candle, a heap of feathers. Nothing more. He calls out, a cry of greeting, a questioning sound. Once, twice, he makes this noise. Then he cocks his head, listening for a response. Nothing. Just the creaking of beams expanding gently in the sun. The sigh of air passing under doors, between rooms, the swish of linen drapes, the crack of the fire, the indefinable noise of a house at rest, empty. His fingers tighten around the iron of the door handle. The heat of the day, even this late, causes sweat to express itself from the skin of his brow, down his back. The pain in his knees sharpens, twinges, then fades again. The boy opens his mouth. He calls the names one by one of all the people who live here, in this house. His grandmother, the maid, his uncles, his aunt, the apprentice, his grandfather. The boy tries them all, one after another. For a moment, it crosses his mind to call his father's name, to shout for him, but his father is miles and hours and days away, in London, where the boy has never been. But where, he would like to know, are his mother, his older sister, his grandmother, his uncles? Where is the maid? Where is his grandfather, who tends not to leave the house by day, who is usually to be found in the workshop, harrying his apprentice or reckoning his takings in a ledger? Where is everyone? How can both houses be empty? He moves along the passageway. At the door to the workshop, he stops. He throws a quick glance over his shoulder, to make sure nobody is there, then steps inside.